all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need in your life. Our resources are from above. Amen. Our provision is from above. They manifest from the supernatural realm into the natural realm. God will always take care of us here.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. We hope you're having a great Monday, and thank you for tuning in. On today's program, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of James. Pastor has entitled this next message, Be Patient When. Now, Pastor Bill.
This morning, James, here we are. We're finally in chapter 5. Now, you know that James has 108 verses. We have 20 verses left, okay? Now, we're only going to cover 12 this morning, but boy, what an opening in these six verses. Remember, the theme of James is always about maturity, growing up, a spiritual maturity. And if I can promise you that the text before us is a challenge for me. But so this morning, as we look at the sermon, the title is Be Patient When. When? We're going to find that out this morning. Now, James opens like an Old Testament prophet. Boy, he is blunt, he is forceful, and all those things. And then these people in verses 1 through 6, okay, they are a rough bunch, all right? Let me give you a few things they're doing. Number one, they hoard their wealth, they rob their workers, they murder the innocent, and they live in pleasure and luxury. Man. And you may be saying, well, Bill, wait a minute. You've been teaching that James is written to Jewish believers only. Well, that's true. So you might ask, well, then who in the world is James addressing in 1 through 6? You might better ask yourself this question. Why would James, through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, why would he spend six verses of Scripture writing here condemning those that are not even in the church, that are not even in the church and never going to read this warning? Very important that we understand that. So what's interesting here is that James, you won't find anywhere in those six verses and following where James calls for them to change their way of life. The verses in 1 through 6, or even to repent of the lifestyle that they are living. But here's what's interesting. He does command them, these people in verses 1 through 6, to do something. He commands them, number one, to weep, and number two, to howl. So why did James write verses 1 through 6? He did that for the benefit of what the Jewish believers were experiencing in those verses, and explains it in verses 7 through 12. Very important that we see that this morning. Now, with all of that being said, who in the world are they? Well, we could say that they're the wicked rich, they're the wicked wealthy, but we know one thing, they love money, and we could say that money is their God. Now, is it a sin to have money? No. Is it a sin to be rich? No, it's not a sin to have money, is it? The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. I like that. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. And then he adds no sorrow to it. Well, that's the way to be rich. I'm a multimillionaire, but there's no sorrow attached to it. That money will never be an idol. Amen? Well, that's a wonderful thing. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith. In their greediness, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So God condemns one thing about money, and that is the love of money. Listen, money, finances, wealth is a gift from God. Amen? And, you know, we've taught this about money. You know that money is amoral. In other words, money doesn't have a heartbeat. Money doesn't have a spirit. Money doesn't have a personality. Money doesn't wake up and say, I think I'm going to spend a lot today. Amen? Money takes on the personality of the one who has it. In other words, who has it in their wallet. So this morning, be patient when? Let's look at these verses now, beginning in verse 1. James starts off with a command, an imperative in the Greek, and he says, come now, or now listen and keep listening of what I'm about to say. He says, come now, you rich, weep, burst into weeping. And not only that, and howl, groan in anguish. I like what John Trapp said. Trapp said, better howl with men than yell with the demons. Ooh, what a word is that. So come now, you rich, you weep, you howl. Why? For your miseries that are coming upon you. So very important. The Holy Spirit does something to James, okay? As he does this, he's penning this. Through the pen of James is addressing the wicked rich, and he's doing so personally, all right? Now, he says, here's the deal. Your miseries are coming. And boy, they are certain and they are sure. But I want you to understand this. He's not saying that their miseries are coming in their earthly life. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is, in that final day, in God's judgment, you're going to get what you deserve, okay? So he says, your riches, look at them now, your riches are corrupted, meaning they have rotted, if you will. And your garments are moth-eaten, or have become moth-eaten. They're full of holes, and they're worthless. Now listen, in that day, we have to go all the way back to the days of James. The wealth then is not like the wealth today, amen? With the most of the people, is that correct? Absolutely. And so you notice there that he says not only your riches, that they've rotted, they've rusted away or whatever. He says your garments are moth-eaten. Why would he say anything about our clothing? You know, in that day, if a person had more than just one change of clothes, okay, they were considered well-to-do. I mean, how many changes of clothes do we have? Huh? Yeah, we've got all these polo labels and whatever you call them, you know, Armani or whatever. No, so to have a change of clothes, you were considered well-to-do. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 5, remember Naaman the Syrian, the great general, and so forth, but he was a leper, remember? And the king of Syria wrote a letter there to the king of Israel and sent him to be healed by Elisha. And so whenever Naaman, the general, when he left, what did he take with him? I think, what was it, 10 or 20 talents of silver, but then also 10 changes of clothing. See, to have that, anyone would have that, you are extremely, extremely wealthy. And so that's why he says that. He says, yeah, your garments are moth-eaten. Someone put it this way, what good is there having a fine suit with a plague in it? That's a good word, isn't it? So these people here, the wicked rich, they did something. They laid up their treasures on earth, but they didn't lay any up in heaven. Amen? Like Jesus said, the moths are going to eat, people come in and steal it and so forth. And he says, wherever your treasure is, Jesus said, there is your heart also. So question. You know, when you see people that are just, I mean, rich, 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 do you envy them? I mean, I heard last night on the news that the Powerball, or whatever it's called, where you gamble with those, you scratch them, or I don't know what you do with them, you go buy them. But it's like over $1 billion you could win. Can you imagine? What would you do if you had $1 billion? Tithe? No way, Bill. No. No, listen, do you know the privilege that we have? Do you know that God will provide everything that we ever need, no matter where we are? Does that mean everything's going to be perfect in our life and there's not going to be any hardship or pain? No, but God is our provider. He will always take care of you. You remember Jesus when he was preaching and he was talking, but don't worry about your life in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Don't do those things. Look at the birds and look at the flowers and all that. And then he said in verse 32 of Matthew 6, he said this, all these things, say that with me, all these things the Gentiles seek. All these things, what am I going to wear? What am I going to put on? What am I going to eat? How am I going to make it in this life? He says, all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows, and guess what the words that Jesus used? He knows that you need all these things. Isn't that amazing? Twice in those verses. And then Jesus does something in verse 33 of the same Matthew 6. He says this, so, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what are those three words? All these things will be added unto you. Everything you need in your life. Our resources are from above. Amen? Our provision is from above. They manifest from the supernatural realm into the natural realm. God will always take care of us here. And so he says here, as he continues in verse 3, He says, your gold and your silver. He says, they're corroded. And it says, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. What kind of word is that? You have heaped up treasure in the last days. So he says, your silver and gold, they are corroded or they are rusted, okay? From literally because you're not using them. And he says, that rust, that non-use, that rust, that dust, whatever it is, he said, it's going to be a witness or testify. It's going to be evidence against you in that day. And how's that going to be? What's going to happen? He says, and that it will eat your flesh like fire. Let me give you another translation, the New Living Translation. The very wealth that you were counting on will eat away your flesh in hell. What a word. You know? Now listen to me. Does God hate the rich man? No. God loves everyone. Amen? So what in the world were they doing? Well, look at it again. It tells us, you have heaped up what? Treasure in these last days. So the wicked rich, the word heaped up means they hoarded their wealth. They weren't using it at all. The accumulation of riches and wealth, loved one, it's not a sin. But did you know that hoarding to the believer, hoarding is a sin according to God's word? I mean, can you imagine having so much money, it's sitting there rotting? Can you believe that? It's just gathering dust and so forth. Now listen, before we go on, question. Does that mean that God, in his word, he condemns us from having a savings account? No. Does God condemn us? Don't you dare have a retirement account? No, he doesn't say that at all. Does anywhere in the word of God, does he say, listen, you know, don't use a financial planner? No, a lot of us don't know how to even make it. We thank God for them, amen? But I believe that the best financial planner in all the universe is the word of God. If you do what the word of God says, you're going to make it, okay? I mean, God is our provider. He never fails. He never lets us down. So wealth, it says if you have wealth, if you're a wealthy Christian, listen to me. Or no, listen to God's word. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. In other words, don't be proud or exalt yourself of your opinion of yourself, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Trust in the God who is never uncertain. Amen. He's always certain. Now, and then it goes on, it says, who gives us richly, not poorly, richly, all things to enjoy. Did you know the word enjoys in the Bible? You know, whatever God has given you in this life, you know, you have $1 million home. Now, I know a lot of Christians, friends of mine, they have $1 million homes. It's not hard to have $1 million home today in a way, you know what I mean? The homes are just horribly expensive. But enjoy it. Don't feel guilty if God has done that for you in your life. If you have a boat, I mean, one of those speed boats with a cover on it, and where you pack your lunch on it and all. If you have that, call me. And I'll show you what it means when it says God has given you all things richly to enjoy. Okay? No, so enjoy what God has given. Don't ever feel guilty about what God has given you in this life. Now, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves silver, though, will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. It is emptiness. Now, so Bill, you said it was a sin to hoard wealth. Let me give you the scripture. Ecclesiastes 5:13, I have seen, Solomon says, a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. See, God gives us wealth. I believe and with all my heart, I hope you do too, everything that I have, God has given me. You know what I mean? Everything. I mean, he's provided. And so, and yes, we need to take care of our families. We need to lay up for our children's children. We need to do all of those things, just like the Bible says to do. But our wealth is not to be hoarded. It's actually to be dispensed. We're to be givers, aren't we? Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, rolling over into your bosom, and with the measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. So we're to be givers, but here's the question. How in the world now did the wicked rich, how in the world did they get their money? How did they get their wealth? Look at verse 4. It says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, meaning, now they're rich landowners, okay? which, look what they did, which you kept back. Their money that was owed to them, you kept it back by fraud. This is a very important verse. Look what happens. God says in his word, they cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Now listen, what the wicked rich did on earth was not only heard about in heaven, it was known in heaven by God. Amen? What does that say? It means that God cares. It means that God knows. And it means that God, he heard their cries. He hears your cries as well. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, the meaning the host, the Lord of hosts, the armies of heaven. You could even say he's a protector of the poor. Let me give you a few scriptures about not paying the people who work. It says in Deuteronomy 24:14, you shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Now listen to what he says. Moses says, each day, actually God is saying this, each day you shall give him his wages. Each day he works 20 hours or 10 hours or 8 hours. At the end of the day, you pay him. He says, and let not the sun go down on it. And here it tells us why. For he is poor and he has set his heart on it. He gets paid at the end of the day. He goes into the village or the city and he buys the bread and what's needed for the night supper for his family. He says, he set his heart on it to be paid. Lest he cry out against you. Cry, very important word. Cry out against you to the Lord. And he says, and it'll be sin to you. So wages earned and not paid is a grievous sin in God's eyes. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained or obtained by dishonesty or fraud will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Listen to this scripture, Micah 2:1, woe to those who devise iniquity and plan out evil on their beds. So they go to sleep at night, but they can't sleep because they're making plans for the next day, the next week, whatever. To how many people can they rip off, okay? He says, and at morning, light, they practice it. They practice that plan that they did in the middle of the night. And it says, because it's in their power of their own hand. And listen to what they do. They covet fields. How do they do it? It says, they take them by violence, houses, homes, they seize them. So they oppress a man, his house, and all that he has. So how serious is it in James's day, and really in our day as well, withholding pay to those who have earned it and not pay them? God says it's a curse. Let me read it to you from Jeremiah 22:13. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers or his bedrooms by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages, without paying him, and gives him nothing for his work. Now look how they live, the wicked rich. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in pleasure. They've gone from pleasure to pleasure on earth. And luxury, self-indulgence, whatever they wanted, man, they just got it. Every whim was satisfied. He says, lived on earth in pleasure, luxury. And he says, you, not God, you, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, Galatians 6:7. He says, you have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Is that a scripture on your refrigerator? That's a tough one, isn't it? So what did James just say through the power of the Holy Spirit? He said, listen, you lived the good life, man. You've been living the dream all of your lives. And the poor, they're the ones that have paid every penny of it. You know, but you were on earth living up, having that good time, but you're not going to make it to heaven. So they stole the wealth of others because they were lovers of pleasures more than lover of God. And they were lovers of money. And they did so to satisfy all of their desires. Thomas Brooks put it this way, a man may have enough of the world to sink him, but he can never have enough to satisfy him. That's a true word. So God says this in his word. He says, all that you've done, talking to the wicked rich, all that you've done now is you've just really nourished and fattened up your hearts for one thing, as in the day of slaughter. I want you to get a picture of this because we're in Texas. Let's say we take a drive out in the country and you look out there and then all you see all the cattle, the steers, the Angus cows, the beef, you know, all of them are out there. And boy, they're just luscious green grass and they're just eating it up and eating it up and getting fat and all that. But they don't have a clue that in the morning the trailer's going to come and pick them up, load them up, take them to the slaughterhouse, and tomorrow we're going to have T-bone steaks. Does that make sense? This is what this is a picture of. The day of slaughter is the day of judgment, okay? And here's what I want you to see now about these verses. Those people, the wicked rich that James is talking about, they're dead. They're dead, loved one. Those particular people. But they are not in heaven. They're in Hades. And they are awaiting the great white throne judgment. They're in the place of the wicked dead. Think about that. Oh, listen. You know, people say, well, you know, the Christians, we're like lambs being led to slaughter. Well, that's true. That's what Paul said in Romans. But he also said this, that we're more than conquerors in him who loved us. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, look what they did. Now, verse 6, he says, you have condemned, wow, you have murdered the innocent or the just. He does not what? He doesn't resist you. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't want to resist him. It didn't mean that they didn't try to somehow get their wages and all of that. What he means here is they're broke. They're poor. They have no power to these wealthy landlords. They have no power over them. So it says that the wicked rich, they condemned them. That means that they took the poor workers to court. Why? Because the rich then had an advantage with the legal system. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, with the courts? Look, if you look back at James 2:6, it says, but you have dishonored the poor man. And he says, do not the rich or do not the unbelieving rich oppress you and drag you, that means by violence, drag you into the courts. So how desperate were the wicked rich here? They were so desperate that they literally, we're not told if, how many, but they murdered innocent hard workers that mowed their fields. They killed them unjustly. They were hoarders of money. They didn't pay their workers. They lived for pleasure. And finally, look what they did. They finally used their wealth to influence the court system against the poor, and they even killed to maintain their lifestyle. It's a wonderful bunch, isn't it? Man, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. Now, I want you to catch something here because of the transition. Very important that we see this. James is going to do something. He's going to leave behind now that blunt, forceful Old Testament prophet, okay? And he's going to return to the tender, loving pastor that he is. And I want you to look back one more time at verse 4 with me before we move on to the next verse. It says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, what did they do? They cry out. Very important word. They cry out. And the cries of the reapers, they've reached the ears of our God. Amen? Now, listen, the problem with these first 6 verses is we read them. Let me back up. Have you ever heard these first 6 verses taught on a Sunday morning? Very rarely, and I don't mean that in a rude manner. I'm not responsible for any other church. But the fact of the matter is that these first 6 verses are tough. And it's not really, you say, Bill, it's not much encouragement. Well, it's not talking about us. Amen? But you need to really get the feel of this or we can't move on. Now, it said there in verse 4, they cried out, and the cries, they were heard by the Lord in heaven. Loved one, listen. See, the problem here is, do we hear their cries? No, we don't hear their cries. We're so far removed. We just read the verse, but there's no emotion in it. We don't see their faces. We don't see their sweating. We don't see them coming home and telling their family, I didn't get paid today.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but you can hear the conclusion to this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, as always, for listening to the broadcast. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.